Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Science and technology. In the world of education, there's been a lot of talk recently about standardizing curriculum across all states. Supporters say this will make sure students are learning the same thing no matter where they live. But Pete Malinowski believes the strength of an education is in how it creates relevance and engagement with the student's local environment. Pete is a director of the Billion Oyster Project, which works to restore the oyster population in New York Harbor. But more than that, it's an initiative that integrates traditional learning with technical skills, and it's implemented during the regular school day in hundreds of classrooms all over the city.
Every city in the world lives on or near a degraded natural ecosystem, right? And every city in the world has issues engaging its young people in their studies and getting them excited about going to school. And so if there's a link there that can be made and we can figure out how to do it, then that's a really important model.
That model is realized primarily through the Billion Oyster Project's key school partner. That's the Harbor School, a public high school in New York City's Department of Education. Any eighth grader in the city can apply to attend. The students go to traditional classes in the morning, English, history, math, science, but their afternoons are a lot less typical. Students spend their time doing hands-on learning with any of six marine-related courses: aquaculture, marine biology research, marine systems technology, ocean engineering, scientific diving, and vessel operations. This means instead of listening to lectures or writing essays, they're feeding and measuring oysters, scuba diving, and driving and building boats every afternoon during normal school hours. I took a ferry to Governor's Island just south of Manhattan to visit the Harbor School. The sky is dark and gray, just like the water. There is a view of the Statue of Liberty on the right and the Brooklyn Bridge on the left. The Harbor School building is just a couple minutes' walk from where the ferry lands. The location on Governor's Island is symbolic of a goal of the Harbor School, connecting New Yorkers to the water. 400 years ago, the harbor was pristine, and it was part of the identity of early residents. As the years went by, the city's population exploded, and the harbor got polluted with sewage and industrial waste. It became too dangerous to swim or fish or pretty much use the harbor at all. A lot of laws were passed to keep people safe and out of the harbor. Even though it's not dangerous to swim or fish anymore, a lot of these laws are in place to keep New Yorkers separated from the harbor.
Everywhere in New York City, it's a real physical challenge to get to the water. There's only a handful of places in the entire city where someone can walk down and touch New York Harbor because it's all walled off and fenced off, and even on Governor's Island.
But the Harbor School fought hard to get their students access to the water. They need this access for their students to complete the restoration of a keystone species, oysters. Even just as recently as the 1800s, New York Harbor was estimated to have 3 trillion oysters, about half of the oysters in the world, according to Paul Greenberg's book, American Catch. At that time, oysters were cheap street food like today's hot dog or pizza slice. But as the harbor got polluted, the oysters disappeared. The Billion Oyster Project is an initiative to repopulate New York's harbor with oysters. But these oysters aren't for eating. The oysters are a foundation for a huge amount of benefits, including acting as a breakwater for monster storms like Hurricane Sandy. Senior Alyssa Jacinto studies aquaculture and has seen the impact of oysters firsthand.
We really cannot live without them. I'm not saying, oh yeah, oysters are the saviors of the world. They're not. We see a lot of people saying, oh no, that doesn't exist, right? Or like, this one animal can't change anything. It can, because when they grow and they make a reef, fish start coming back. And they filter. When they filter out water, you start to see a difference in water qualities. They're a small little thing that changes perspectives.
The project will restore a billion oysters to the harbor by 2034. They have 11 million oysters so far. The students spawn baby oysters in their aquaculture lab. Then they're moved to plastic bins inside the eco dock in the harbor water. I was told it's like Oyster College. Too big to stay inside, but not yet ready for the real world. When those oysters are big enough, student divers place them in oyster gardens in the harbor. Jeffrey Morrell is one of those divers.
If there's anything that shouldn't be there, like a lot of trash, like this time that I've gone down and I've like shoved bags of Doritos and all that stuff into my BCD that really shouldn't be down there. So my job is just to make sure that they're growing and that everything's supposed to go the way it's supposed to.
Jeffrey is a tall, lanky 18-year-old originally from the Dominican Republic. I tracked him down at the basketball court so I could talk to him. He had trouble sitting still during our interview. He describes being in a room as being trapped. Jeffrey says he never liked school, but he thrives at the harbor school. He's a professional scuba diver and looks at the harbor totally differently now.
I've been living here for like 6 years now, so I never really thought of it as like something more than just a body of water. I just looked at it and like, oh, look, it's a river. And I came here and they're like, it's not a river, man. It's an estuary. And I'm like, what? It's not. What does that even mean?
The Billion Oyster Project is a huge scientific undertaking that requires accurate gathering of data and precise completion of tasks. It might not seem like a good idea to ask teenagers to play a central role, but Sam Janis says that the weight of the responsibility is exactly why it does work. He is a project manager for the Billion Oyster Project.
Students learn, you know, a huge amount from these struggles too. I think they know, you know, inherently when you're saying, all right, just go out and put these gardens in the water, and if your count's off, you know, like they know when you're sacrificing quality, and they know when they're being held to, you know, virtually scientific standards of quality and data consistency.
This is a real science experiment, so not even Sam and Pete know what is going to happen yet. They're looking for the tipping point. They hypothesize that sometime before they reach a billion oysters, they will be able to regenerate by themselves. They will have restored a wild population. But there's no way right now to know whether or not they'll be successful. And it's just this authenticity that engages students. When Jeffrey goes down for a dive, he knows a mistake could be a matter of life or death.
Even though we make fun of each other for things like little mistakes, we still like make sure that we have to take care of it and like make sure we don't do it again because it's something really dangerous. Like we really have to trust each other with our lives. So like I depend on those guys and they depend on me. Something serious.
This level of responsibility in the water has changed who Jeffrey is on land as well.
Like in freshman year, I would not want to participate in anything. Like you would tell me to raise my hand in class and I'll just be like, no, I'm not doing this. But as a senior, I'm here doing an interview. Like I'm not really that shy of it. But freshman year, you'd have told me to do this and I'd have probably like ran away, hit somewhere. I'd have hit like in the library or something.
Jeffrey's classmate Alyssa is different. She liked school when she started high school, but she wasn't sure what she liked about it until harbor school.
I had a saltwater reef tank that I had to take care of for the class as a class project, and I noticed I was there almost every day for my lunch and my actual aquaculture periods. So I was just like, this is what I want to do.
Alyssa now has a 55-gallon tank at home. It's a lot of work to take care of. She has to change the water every week, but she says it's worth it.
A lot of people think, oh, fish are boring. No, they're pretty cool. They have their own personalities. They do their own thing. My cat loves looking at my fish. I love looking at my fish. I have a fish that's about this big. I don't know if anybody can see it. Nobody can see it, but it's pretty big.
Alyssa has just returned from the International Conference on Shellfish Restoration in Charleston, South Carolina. Her classmates and her were the youngest presenters there, and they were the only group to receive a standing ovation. Alyssa says it was nice to talk to people who really understood her. Those people were college professors and marine researchers. She thinks it's great that oysters are getting attention now, but frustrated that it took people so long to pay attention.
A lot of people want a solution to, like, undo what they've done, especially because of global warming and stuff like that. The fact is that it had to affect people there had to be droughts places. There had to be weird weather patterns places, especially now. I mean, even in New York City, we saw it. I mean, usually we didn't get hit by hurricanes. Sandy hit us pretty hard. And we woke up 2 years ago. We woke up that day and we were like, there's something going on.
So yes, it will be great if in 2034, Harbor School students have created a self-sufficient oyster population. But oysters can only do so much. If there is not a new generation of people to care for and invest in the harbor, all of this work will be lost. That's why, even with all the inefficiencies and frustrations of implementing this model in public schools, Pete believes it's so important to do it this way.
So I think the question is, could scientists and marine engineers and professional captains restore a billion oysters? Probably in less time than 430 high school students, but that would not be anywhere near as cool.
For HeritageRadioNetwork.org, I'm Caitlin Pierce.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.